The name of the message today is Our Friend. Our Friend. Now, through our lives, we have many friends, don't we? I remember as being a little tyke, had a whole bunch of friends. And then growing up, had some more friends. Usually the friends that you had when you were younger, they might not stay along, and you might have new friends come along. You might still have a couple old friends, just real good old friends. And then you get in your high school and teenage years, and you have friends. Some friends are good, and some friends aren't too good for you, right? You can, you know, I remember some friends that weren't good influence on me. And then I remember some friends that were good influence on me. But when you have a good friend, it's a blessing, isn't it? It really is. You know, and I'm thankful that not only are we brethren as believers, but we're also friends with one another. Isn't that wonderful? We're family, but yet we're friends too. It's so important, isn't it? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel. We're going to go to chapter 19 first. I'm amazed at how much God protects His elect. How much He protects those who are His friends. Do you know the elect are the friends of God? Isn't that amazing? God's our friend? Yeah. He's our friend. Not only is He our Savior and our Redeemer, our Beloved, but He's our friend. You know, He's a friend like no other. You ever had some friends that were fair weather friends? Remember those fellows? Oh yeah, as long as if you had some new gadget or something new, they wanted to be there, but as soon as that got old, they just took off. Not a true friend, just a fair weather friend. Christ is not a fair weather friend, beloved. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Sticketh closer than a brother. And I'll tell you what, we need friends, don't we? We need Him. More than anyone else in this world, we need Christ. And He protects His people. You know, His people are called the sheep of His pasture. The sheep of His pasture, that's what we are. We're sheep of His pasture. And the shepherd has an obligation to the sheep, doesn't he? To protect them. To care for them. To watch over them. He has a responsibility for that, doesn't he? And it's amazing when you think that that's how our heavenly shepherd looks upon us. And His eye is ever upon us, too. And I had our dear brother read that portion in 1 Samuel for the setting of our text. We see how much God cares for His people, how much He cares for His friends, when Saul tries relentlessly to kill David. He pursues him, doesn't he? He wants to destroy him. But God watches over His people. He ever watches over His people. He's ever there. And you know that every time that Saul would attempt to pursue David, God would stop him. Do you know He has thousands upon thousands upon thousands of ways to stop our enemies? To stop the enemies of our souls? To stop His enemies? I'll tell you why. And He's got a vast store of power, doesn't He? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can anyone thwart His will? Can even a man say, "Well, I don't believe in Him"? Does that cause him to shake? Scripture says He laughs at their calamity. He mocks them. Our God is no one to be trifled with. no one to be trifled with. He's the holy God of the universe. He's the King of kings, and He's the Lord of lords. And that's who our Savior is. That's who our friend is, as believers. And never forget that He is able to deliver the godly out of temptation. If you look back on your life and you see how many times He's delivered you, you'd be absolutely amazed. Before you were saved and even after you were saved. It's absolutely stunning. And Saul had sent men to take David at Naioth. Do you know God followed the plan by the working of the Holy Spirit to stop them? Look at this in 1 Samuel chapter 19. This is amazing. You know, they even forgot why they came. They even forgot why they came. Look at Psalm 19, starting in verse 19. And eventually, Saul comes himself. And the Lord so confuses Saul that he lays all day and night naked on the ground. We're going to see this. Look at this. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah." And Saul sent messengers to David when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them. The Spirit of God was upon the messenger of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, so he sends some more. And they prophesied likewise. Oh, God's amazing. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Oh, my. God confused them, didn't He? They were sent to gather David up and bring him to Saul, and the Lord just stopped them in their tracks. Now, look at this. Now Saul's decided, you know. Then went he also to Ramoth and came to a great well that is in Sekhu. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" He expected them to be there. He expected them to bring Samuel and David to him. He said, "Behold, they're at Naioth in Ramoth." They're still there. They can't touch him. So here comes Saul now. Here comes the king. And he went thither to Naioth and Ramoth, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went in and prophesied until he came to Naioth and Ramoth. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all the day and all the night. Wherefore they say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" I love how our Lord, He's just amazing, isn't He? Saul's there rolling around in the dust naked all day and night. Oh my gosh. And David saw how helpless Saul was, and yet, you know, David was like you and I, though. He saw Saul there helpless. And isn't it interesting here to note that the failings of the Old Testament saints are not hidden, that they're open for us. Just as we saw in the New Testament this morning in Bible study, where Peter's failings are right there before us, right? Isn't it amazing that God, I love this, that God the Holy Spirit allows these things to happen, right? And we know they're for our learning. Scripture tells us they're for our learning, the things that happened in the Old Testament, and we know even in the New Testament, they're for our learning. But what do they show us? That these great men were just men. They're just flesh like you and I. Just flesh. Look what David does. He doesn't stop and give praise to God. He takes off. God's already defeated Saul right there. He's in the dust. Naked in the dirt. All day and night. And what does David do? Well, he takes off. Look at verse 1 of chapter 20. And David fled from Naioth and Ramoth and came and
said before Jonathan, what have I done? And what is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? Instead of quietly waiting for the Lord to instruct him, he flees. He's just like us. Isn't he? He's just like every one of us. He's just a sinner saved by grace. He turned his back on the prophet. He was there with Samuel. He was there with Samuel the prophet. And obviously the Lord was with them, wasn't he? And he turns his back on Samuel and takes off. Goes to Jonathan. He preferred to consult with his friend, who was Jonathan, who was Saul's son. Now, a friend can sometimes do us good, right? But who should our first confidence be? The Lord. Should always be the Lord. We should always go to Him first. Always. And seek Him. See, this is why I say David's just like us. We're all the same, aren't we? We may seek confidence in a friend, and we should just take it to the Lord in prayer, right? I don't fault David because he's just like me. He's a great man. I will pale in comparison to him. He was an incredible fella. But he's just flesh like us. And he's afraid. Look, he says, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? Well, we know that he's hated without a cause, isn't he? Because David served. David served Saul. Well, our Lord was hated without a cause, wasn't he? He was hated without a cause. Micah says, turn with your word, if you would, to Micah 7. Let's look at this scripture here. I think it's important that we look at this. And in this passage, we're going to see such a contrast between Jonathan and Saul. Saul hated David. Jonathan loved him. He loved him. Not only was Jonathan his friend, but he was his brother. And they had a love that exceeded the love of a man and a woman. And there was no weirdness about that. They just loved each other. Dearly. Dearly. Look what it says here in Micah, though. Micah chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. Who should we trust all the time? We should always trust God, right? Now, I know we men, our wives are our best friends, and you ladies, your husband's your best friend. And we tend to talk amongst one another about things, right? But always, even then, our Lord should be the first one we go to. Right? Look what it says here, though. Micah chapter 7, verse 5. I think this is so wise. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are of his own house. Therefore will I look unto the Lord. I look unto Jehovah. That's Jehovah there. I'm going to look unto Jehovah. I will wait for the God of my salvation. We wait on Christ, don't we? We wait on Him, who is the refuge of our soul. We don't rush out and try to fix things. Well, we do at first. We always try to rush out and fix things on our own. And then we fall flat in our face, and then we're before the Lord, right? Just being honest. Look at this. Therefore, will I look unto the Lord. There's life in the look, isn't there? There's life in the look to the Savior. There's life in the look to Christ. Therefore, I look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Elohim. Elohim, the strong and mighty one. He's the God of my salvation. My God will what? Hear me.
know, God always hears His children. He always hears His friends. Always. It's amazing. So what a contrast we have between Saul and Jonathan. Saul wants to hate him, or wants to kill David, and so he runs to Saul, again, away from the prophet of God, right, to his dear best friend. Now I can see us doing that too in our flesh. Absolutely. Especially if our friend is a believer in Christ. But we ought to go to the Lord first. We ought to go to Him. Saul manifests the wickedness of an evil spirit, breathing out nothing but hatred, malice and death against God's faithful servant. He hates them without a cause. They hated Christ without a cause, didn't they? They breathed out malice to our King. They didn't even know Him and they hated Him. Why? Because He preached Christ. Or because He was the God-man. They hated Paul, right? They absolutely hated Paul. Why? For the fact that he preached Christ and Him crucified. They want to destroy Him. See, they can't get at the Master, so they get at the Messenger, beloved. That's what happens. Saul, he's manifesting this evil spirit. And he's gone now. He wants to kill David. And Jonathan, his son, his heart is influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe Jonathan was a brother in Christ. His heart's influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. He has kinder feelings of love and brotherly affection toward David. He knew David was going to be king. And he wasn't jealous. He knew it was God's will that David would be king. So marvel, what do we have before us? God's distinguishing grace, don't we? We have a man in his natural state, Saul, that just hates David. We have a man who's born again, the son of the man who hates David, who's born again, and he loves David. Who made them to differ? God. Who made you and I to differ? God. I got two brothers, don't know Christ, don't want to have nothing to do with them. Absolutely not. Don't even want to know what I preach. And then here I am now, a gospel preacher. Never thought I would be one. Who made us to differ? God. He's the only one. He's the only one that made the difference. And if you're saved, He's the only one that made a difference between you and your family members and your friends who know Christ. He's the only one. So marvel here at God's distinguishing grace right here before us. And look at the friendship. We look at this friendship of Jonathan and David and marvel. Marvel at how wonderful this relationship is. But let our souls take flight. And knowing that relationship pales in comparison to the unequal friendship of He whose love for us far exceeds the love that Jonathan and David had amongst each other. God loves us, His people. We're His friends. We're going to see in the Scripture where He calls us His friends. My. And His love was toward us even when we were dead in sin. Even when I was out there doing things I knew I shouldn't be doing. His love was still set upon me. The Lord didn't save me till I was in my 30s. So I had a lot of time to try to destroy myself before that. Praise God, He kept me. My, oh my, what a King, what a Savior He is. What mercy to know that His love was set upon me even when I was shaking my fist at Him by my actions and my deeds and my words. And yet His love was still set upon me. That's why I have to proclaim the great things He's done for me. Because I couldn't do any of this for myself. I couldn't, when I was out there, I couldn't save myself. I was dead. Love and sin. Were you? Love and sin. Now what do we? We hate sin now, don't we? I hate sin more in myself than I do in anyone else. Is it so for you? Oh my. But His love was set upon us. His eternal, God's eternal love was set upon us even then. And it's been set upon His people since eternity. He's loved us when we were poor, loathsome creatures. We were in such a deadness of spiritual life. We were so dead in trespasses and sin. And yet His love was set upon us. You know how we know that? Because He said, "Thou art mine. You're mine." And because we're His, He's given us the Spirit which cries, "Abba, Father," now, right? Paul tells us that in Galatians. And there's nothing in us that would cause Him to love us. Absolutely nothing in us. And yet His love is set upon us. My. Set upon us from eternity. So never forget. Never forget my soul. Never forget my brethren. That we were enemies in our minds when Christ... when we were born into this world. Never forget that we were enemies to Christ by wicked works. And yet 2,000 years ago He died for us. He gave His life for us. Isn't that amazing? Someone was trying to kill your family or friends. Would you give your life for them? Now we give our life for our family and our friends, wouldn't we? But would you give your life for an enemy? Oh, how God's love far exceeds our love, beloved. Far exceeds our love. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 17. Well, actually, no, I'll just read these. I got a whole bunch of things here in the Old Testament. If you want to write them down, I've got multiple ones here, but if you want to write them down about friends. And the friendship between David and Jonathan was very special. But all human friendships pale in comparison to the friendship of God. In Proverbs 17:17, it says this: "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend, a true friend, loves all, at all times. Christ has loved us in all times, hasn't He? We were enemies in our minds, but He loved us. Oh my. Proverbs 18:24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." You want to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly, don't you? I've had a few friends in my life where it was only me contacting them. They're no longer really friends in my life anymore. Because eventually, it's not reciprocal, right? You still, but when you do meet together, you just pick up right where you left off. It's amazing if you see each other in the flesh. But we tend to want to be with people who are friendly with us right now, right? My, Christ is a friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Because that very verse says, "A man that hath friends shows himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." That's Christ. That's Christ. I've seen people, they say they do things for friends, but when blood comes between them, they always choose blood. They always choose blood, even if it's for the wrong cause. My. Christ is a friend that will never do that. He'll never do that. He's a friend that sticks to us no matter what. Sticks by us no matter what. No matter what. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Never. Never ever. And God's people, we can backslide, can't we? We can get pretty far away from the Lord sometimes in our sin. But He's ever with us, drawing us back to Himself. Gently bringing us back. Peter, do you love me? Peter denied Him three times. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? He never rebuked him once. Isn't that amazing? You ever had a friend like that? I never had a friend like that. Oh my. Amazing. Song of Solomon, speaking of our Savior, says, His mouth is most sweet, and He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Isaiah says this in 41:8, But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. See, we who are the people of God are Abraham's spiritual seed, aren't we? He calls us my friend. Luke chapter 12, verse 4, he says, And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear, fear him, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear God. But notice he says, And I say unto you, my friends. He's speaking to his disciples. Turn, if you would, to John 15. We'll read this together. John 15. This is wonderful. John 15. We're the friends of God, beloved. We who are His born-again, blood-washed people, we are the friends of God. And this is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Did you ever consider yourself a friend of God? That's what the Lord says we are. I just marvel more and more. The more He teaches me, the more I marvel at how much He loves us. I'm telling you why. It's wonderful. This just gets better and better, doesn't it? It really does. Just gets better and better. Look at this. John 15, verses 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than the man lay down his life for his friends. Who did Christ lay down His life for? His friends. And look what He says, and look, ye are my friends. What? Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul said, right? Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. Look at that. So we're His friends, and then He tells us, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. And I've ordained. I've ordained the steps that you're going to walk in. That's why the Scripture says in Proverbs, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know, He ordains our steps. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely incredible. And it was the Lord's eternal love that sent Him from heaven to come to this earth to save us from our sins. It's His eternal love. We're His friends. We couldn't save ourselves, could we? He comes to save us from all our sins. He's our surety. He came to pay all our debts. All our debts. All our sin debt. Gone. Paid for by the precious blood of Christ. And He supplies all our wants, doesn't He? Scripture says, and when I say wants, I'm not talking physical wants, because, you know, I'm talking spiritual wants. Scripture says that in Christ, We have all spiritual blessings. You know, all our spiritual wants are supplied in Christ. We need to be justified before God, don't we? In Christ. We need to be sanctified before God in Christ. We need righteousness in Christ. We need redemption. We need our souls to be purchased. Christ purchases our souls with His precious, precious blood. Isn't that wonderful? We've been adopted by God. We're His sons. Now we cry, Abba, Father. It's wonderful, isn't it? We didn't before. Now we do. By the grace of God, now we do. Oh, it's so wonderful. He's so good to us. He's so merciful to us. It's absolutely wonderful. So marvel at this great love. Marvel also at the fact that if the more we learn, the more the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us about Christ, the more dearer He becomes to us. He's a dear Savior, isn't He? He's a dear friend, isn't He? My, oh my, He's a dear friend, beloved. What matchless love, what unparalleled friendship we have in Christ. And all we can say is, blessed be the name of the Lord. And may the fact of His precious daily watch, He watches over us daily, every second, beloved. Whether we're here or in Ecuador or over at Papua New Guinea where Lance is, He watches over every single one of His saints. Well, someone say, how can He do that? Because He's God. He's all powerful. See, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And He loves us so much that He watches over us daily. We're under His tender care. And one day we're going to see Him by His mercy and His grace. One day we're going to see Him face to face. What great love God has for His people. So David here now, he has thoughts of doom, doesn't he? He says, why is your dad trying to kill me? Saul's not his friend, is he? Why is your dad trying to kill me? Why is he trying to do this? My. He's looking to his earthly friend instead of looking to his heavenly friend. And we all do it. We all do it. If we're honest, we all do it. That's why this is for our learning, see? That's why this is for our learning, because we all do this. God was not in His thoughts right now, and we see God wasn't even mentioned at all in what He says to Jonathan. We're told in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. See, He's the light unto our paths, beloved. He's the light unto our paths. And we're told that to remind us. Because how soon we forget. How soon we forget. The reason that He tells us not to lean on our own understanding is because sometimes we do. The reason He tells us to acknowledge Him in all our ways because sometimes we don't. The flesh, the flesh, the flesh. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? We can all testify to that. All of us. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. Now, David wasn't the only one like this, and we're not the only one like this. And praise God that we have a friend in Christ Jesus who sticks closer than a brother. But you know, even Abraham was carried away a few times too. Now, God called Abraham out of Ur. He's an idol worshiper. I was an idol worshiper at one time. in the Catholic Church, I was a total idol worshiper. Called me out of that by His grace and by His mercy. Abraham, he is a full-on idol worshiper. Called him out of there. God led him and directed him. Look at this in Genesis chapter 1 to 3. And remember, these are for our learning. And remember, this shows us that Abraham is just a man like you and I. A man trusting in God and resting in God, but sometimes we lean on our own understanding. And sometimes we do not acknowledge Him to direct our paths. Look at this. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Now shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now notice this promise here. God had just promised Abraham, I'll make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. That's a promise from God, right? It's a promise from God. Now look down at verses 11 and 13. We see here old Abraham, he's just a sinner like you and I. He's just a sinner like us. He'd been told by the Lord that the Lord's going to do this wonderful feat. And I ask you, would the Lord allow him to be killed before he did that? No. No, not at all, right? He just promised him, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, Abraham. Look, oh, Abraham, he's just like you and I. Look at this. Look at verses 11 to 13. And it came to pass when he was come near unto Egypt, he took it unto his wife Sarai, his wife. Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass. You know, see, he's thinking, he's got this whole thing wrapped up in his mind. See, anxiety will do this to you. Right? That shows you he's got anxiety. He's got an anxiety issue right now. And how do we know that? Because look, he's made this whole thing in his mind that's going to happen. He said, Sarah, they're going to look on you. They're going to say, oh, she's so beautiful. Right? And then he says, they're going to kill me. When the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save thee alive. God had just promised him, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. He's not gone a little wee bit. He's like, they're going to kill me, Sarah. You got to lie. You got to tell them you're my sister. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, and it will be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. No, his soul shall live because of God. See, he's just like you and I, beloved. These men, they get fearful just like you and I. David's fearful. Abraham's fearful here. He's got, again, he's fabricated this whole thing up in his mind. What's going to happen already? And he's not even in Egypt yet. He's like, oh my. I bet you he was losing sleep. He fabricated this whole thing in his mind. It didn't come to pass that way, did it? As a matter of fact, the king said, why did you lie to me? I wouldn't have killed you. Well, we know he wouldn't have. Because God had told him, I'm going to bless you. Through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Well, that's speaking of Christ, isn't it? My, oh my. How... Right after God tells Abraham that he'll make a great nation of him, he says, all those Egyptians are going to kill me. They're going to kill me. What does this show us? It shows us that no man is anything without God's grace. That's what it shows us. I'm nothing without God's grace. None of us are. We're nothing without God's grace. We really are. Nothing at all. And God warns us. He gives us examples here in the scriptures before us. He says in the book of Hebrews, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. So these are examples for us, for our learning, aren't they? And I look at that and say, well, I'm not the only one that struggles with that stuff then. And did God not have mercy continuously on Abraham? He's his friend, wasn't he? And you know, David and Jonathan, they had made a covenant together. They had made a covenant together. And Jonathan said, have mercy, when you become king, have mercy upon my family. And because they were such friends, David had mercy on Mephibosheth, didn't he? He had mercy on him. But Jonathan and David made a covenant before Mephibosheth was even born. Who made a covenant before we were even born? To have mercy upon you and I as believers. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They covenanted in eternity, didn't they? To have mercy upon the people. Now, it's a people that no man can number. And what mercy God has upon us. Look at this in 1 Samuel 20 verses 14 to 17. Here's this covenant between David and Jonathan in that section that Brother Travis read. They made a solemn covenant to each other. A plan was agreed upon by Jonathan whereby he would keep David informed of his father's plans, but he also asked David to have mercy. They made a covenant together that David would have mercy upon his kin. 1 Samuel 20, verses 14 to 17. And thou shalt not only, well, yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also that thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. Look at that. Do you know God will not cut off the kindness, his kindness and his graciousness to those he gave to Christ in eternity? Isn't that amazing? Look at this. Not when the Lord had cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So he knew that David was going to be king. And he's not jealous of him. Because he knows that if David becomes king, it's by God's will. He's a man of God's choosing, isn't he? Yeah? Look at this. So Jonathan made a covenant with David. A covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. So what a friendship they had together. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We see the results of that covenant. Now that covenant was made before Mephibosheth was even born. Again, there was a covenant made in eternity for you and I as believers. Before we were ever born. Oh, it's me. Look at this. What a beautiful picture here. Look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And David said, Is there yet any of the house left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Because that covenant I made with him. I want to show kindness to any of his kin. Because that covenant I made with Jonathan. Now, when a new king came in, they'd usually slaughter the royal house. Anyone. There'd be no one left. But also, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. So here's one of Saul's servants still alive. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there any? Is there not any yet, or is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath a son which is lame on his feet. Now we're lame from a... See, Mephibosheth was lame from a fall. You know what we're lame from spiritually? We're lame from a fall, beloved. We fell in Adam, didn't we? We're lame. We can't save ourselves. Dead in trespasses and sins. Look at this. This is just such a beautiful picture. And the king said unto him, where is he? Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him. Now, where were we? Where were we when the Holy Spirit fetched us? We were in Lodabar. We were in, that means a house of no bread. There we were. We were in the desert. And God the Father said, go fetch him. We call it fetching grace. The old timers used to call, the old preachers call, fetching grace. Go fetch him. Holy Spirit comes and draws us to Christ, right? He brings us to Christ, doesn't he? Oh, he brings us to Christ. Look at this. So David says, go fetch him. Fetching grace. What a picture of fetching grace. Go fetch him. Fetch him out of that house. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face. What do we do? What do we do when the Lord brings us to Christ, when the Holy Spirit brings us to Christ? We just fall on our faces, don't we? Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Oh, look at this. He fell on his face, beloved, and did reverence. He reverenced the king. Do we not do that now? Do we not now give reverence to the king when we never gave reverence to him before? And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, oh, two little words, so precious, fear not. What does God tell us in Christ? Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. My wrath has been appeased in my Son for you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. You're under the blood. That's what he tells his people, eh? For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan my father's sake. Who does God the Father show kindness to us because of? The Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason he has mercy upon us is because of Christ. That's the only reason. For his Son's sake. Because he made a covenant with him way back in eternity. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. And we'll restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat at the bread at my table continually. He's eating bread at the king's table. And look at, is this not our response? And he bowed his head, bowed up, and he said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I? Oh, I'm such a dead dog, Lord, and yet you're having mercy on me. Praise your mighty name. I don't deserve this mercy. I don't deserve this grace. I'm just a dead dog. Fear not. Fear not. Mephibosheth, he feels so unworthy. He's like, he knows about what they used to do to royal families. He says, I'm just a dead dog. And yet you're having mercy on me? Then look at this. Then said the king unto Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, he called him. He said, I have given unto my master's son all that pertains to Saul and all his house. Therefore, thou and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and shall bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have. And Saul was his master, so that they have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, he's going to eat at my table. Look at this. Thy master's son. Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Always. Always. Oh my. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded this servant, so shall thy servant do. Whatever you say. Whatever you say, King David, that's what we're going to do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's what? Sons. Sons. We're sons of God now, aren't we? We're adopted. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? I'll tell you something else too. Look what it says too. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Someone once said, when he's sitting there, right, and the table is shown, and he's sitting there eating, you can't tell he's lame. You can't tell he's lame. He's at the king's table, beloved. We fell in Adam. We're lame from a fall, aren't we? One day we're going to be sitting at the king's table, beloved. He's promised that, hasn't he? We're going to be with him forever. Sitting at the king's table. Oh my, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid, Mephibosheth. I'm just a dead doll. Don't be afraid. How can you have mercy on me? Don't be afraid. Now, when the king commanded something, it came to pass. You broke the king's word, you'd probably lose your head. And King David himself said, this is going to happen. He's going to be at my table. You're going to gather food for his family and everything, but he's going to be sitting at my table as my son. My. So this covenant between David and Jonathan, again, was made before Mephibosheth was even born. It pictures again the everlasting covenant made before we were ever born in eternity between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to have mercy upon a people of His choosing. Remember, as we've been looking at in John 17, the Father, we were the fathers before we were given to Christ. He chose us in Christ and He gave us to Christ. Will He not care for us? Will He not watch over us? My, oh my. What a friend we have in Jesus. Right? All our sins. All our sins. All our sins He bore. All of them. So we're not guilty before God anymore, even though we're sinners. We're free, beloved. Stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What a beautiful picture we have here of David's friendship to Jonathan in the remembrance of Jonathan's son. What great kindness. What great kindness is shown to Mephibosheth, right? All because of a covenant that David had made with Jonathan before Mephibosheth was even born. Now, David wasn't content with just taking him into his favor. He gives Mephibosheth a princely position. He's like my son. And he's going to sit at the table. He gives him a princely position. And he also gave to him all that Saul had. All that Saul owned, he gave it to him. Oh, beloved God, our great God, He's given us a seat at His table. He's given us an inheritance that shall never fade away. Never fade away. And marvel that we who are the people of God in Christ were objects of His great love and His great kindness. We're His friends. Marvel at that this week. Think upon that. Meditate upon that precious truth. And may we be reminded to look back to our ruined circumstance, the ruined circumstance of our family, to where Christ has brought us now. And it's all Him. It's all because of His mercy. It's all because of His grace. And it's all because of a covenant He made with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in eternity. He has mercy on us for Christ's sake. That's why it's wonderful. I ask you, did not the great friend of our soul seek us out? Did He not first seek us out? We weren't seeking Him, were we? He sought us out. And let us recall what our Lord's done for us. He fetched us out of the house of Egyptian bondage, too. Do you know that? Egypt in the Scriptures is a picture of the world. He fetched us out of Egyptian bondage, beloved. We were in a prison house of sin, weren't we? He fetched us out of it. He opened the door. The chains fell off. He set us free. He brought us out of a house of poverty and ruin, didn't He? And now we're sat at His table. Heirs with Him. Joint heirs with Christ. So I ask you, has He not shown us His great kindness? Has He not shown us His great mercy? Has He not shown us His great love in the redemption of our souls? In saving us from all our sins? Oh, He's brought us to sit at His table, and the banner over us is love. God's love. And even now He says to us, fear not. Fear not. I will surely show you kindness. Fear not. Or using His words, written in Isaiah 43:1, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine.